Hello and welcome to our program. We're in Luke 21. We'll be looking at the story of the widow who threw her last little bit of money into the treasury. An important story. Stay tuned. Reading in Luke chapter 21, verse number 1, and he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither 2 mites. And he said, of a truth I tell you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast into the offering of God, but she of her penury, or extreme poverty, has cast in all the living that she had. Well, it says here in verse 1 that Jesus looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. Now, in Matthew's account of this particular story, it reads this way in Matthew 12:44, Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast their money into the treasury, how they did it. Now, it says here that he looked up, the area where these 13 different contribution chests were located here in the temple area, are shaped like trumpets. They're actually in an elevated area that is about 15 steps above where the other parts are. Therefore, it says, he looked up. Now, these chests, they were narrow at the top and they were wide at the bottom, and they were actually referred to as trumpets because they were shaped that way. And each was designated for something. So in one of these different 13 chests that were there, you would put the money in, which would be designated for a particular purpose in the temple. However, in Matthew chapter 6, where we read of this account, Jesus said, "Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly." Now, this is a very interesting portion of Scripture, and we would do well to ask ourselves, why did this come up at this particular time in the story? It's just a couple of days that he's going to be crucified. Why is this account so important? Well, some commentaries have said, well, this was just simply something very positive in a very dark situation. Actually, I don't think that's true at all. I think it's just the opposite to that. He was saying here, in the context of this woman giving her money, the context, and again, we have said this over and over again, if you're going to understand Scripture, look at the Scriptures and get the context of it before you determine what it's talking about. Now, you know, the only way to really understand the Bible, and we've probably said this 1,000 times, is to compare Scripture with Scripture. We are far too quick to grab a commentary and compare commentaries with Scriptures and then come up with a conclusion. Every commentary that I have put my hands on about this story is talking about what a tremendous thing this is and how God is blessing this woman for what she has done. Actually, the exact opposite is true. If you look at the context, back in Luke chapter 20, the previous chapter, verse 46, Jesus said, "Beware of the scribes, which desire to walk in long robes, and love greetings in the markets, and the highest seats in the synagogues, and the chief rooms at the feasts," get this one, "which devour widows' houses, and for a show make long prayers, the same shall receive the greater damnation. They devour widows' houses. Here's this poor widow, the Bible very plainly saying she's given her last cent. She's given everything that she has to this treasury. Now, the Bible says true religion is this, that they would help the widows, not rob them of the last things that they have. And we're living in a world today which is very, very much of that is going on, where the religious hypocrites of the day are just lining their pockets and building bigger things. Just bring in the money and get it from these widows if you can. Let them starve to death while you build your gold and silver and fly around in your personal jets from one place to another, so-called preaching the gospel. Jesus is not happy about this. He's very disgusted that these people are taking advantage of this woman, and this woman doesn't know better. She should know better. But there's a tremendous influence from these religious hypocrites called Pharisees, and there's a tremendous influence today from religious hypocrites who are draining little old ladies of their money on their radio programs and on their TV programs, and as I said, getting into their Mercedes and driving to their airports and flying their jets off to make some more money. Not very positive thing with Jesus, and that's why it comes up here in this story. Well, in verse number 5, it says, "And as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said, As for these things which ye behold, the day will come in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be, and what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass?" Now, they're looking at the temple, the disciples, they're saying, well, look at these stones, and they were, the temple was built, and there was goodly stones put right in them. Jesus said, well, you know, Matthew 23 and 38, he said, "Behold, your house is left unto you desolate." In Matthew 23 and 5, it talks about these goodly stones that were embedded with jewels. And the gifts that it's talking about here were symbols of their vows to God that were displayed on the walls on the inside. Everything was very, very, very wealthy. A lot of materialistic stuff here. And it says here, and Jesus said it in verse number 6 of Luke 21, "And as for these things which ye behold, they are all coming down." They're coming down. And verse 7 says, "And they asked him, saying, Master, when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass?" Now, he goes on down through this portion of Scripture and gives all kinds of signs. There's cosmic signs, national signs, political signs, the sign of immorality and apostasy of the last days. He said it would be like the days of Lot and the days of Noah, a lot of signs. But the first thing he says here in verse number 8, he said, "Take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name." And that's exactly what was happening then and is really happening today. Many come in his name. Then he said in verse 9, "But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by." Then he says in verse 10, "Nation shall rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom." Well, we've always had nation against nation, but it's only been in recent years where the same kingdom is fighting within themselves like they are today. Then it says, "Great earthquakes shall be in divers or many places, famines and pestilence and a fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven." And he said in verse 12, "But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake." Now, keep in mind that this is very, the context of this has to do with Israel and them being brought up because they were testifying for him as all of this happened after Jesus rose from the dead and gave the job to the disciples there to say, "Now go into all the world and preach the gospel." And he said, "You're going to be delivered up even to prisons." And he said, "And it shall be to you for a testimony." This is your chance to testify for the cause of Jesus Christ. Well, the Bible says that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to His purpose. And if you love God and you're called according to His purpose and you're living that way, then let God be God. Let Him, all things work together for good to them. There's another opportunity for a testimony. So he says in verse 14, settle it therefore in your hearts. Settle it therefore in your hearts. And he gives a lot of other signs here. If you go down to verse 20, it says, and when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Well, certainly Jerusalem is compassed with armies today. They actually just recently passed the budget for their defense budget of $89 billion for this year. Well, anyone who knows anything at all about Bible prophecy can certainly understand that these days are drawing nigh, that Christ is coming back, and the Bible says the tribulation period will begin. The Lord goes on to give the parable of the fig tree here in verse 29, and then 31 he says, so likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. And so he says in 34, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. That means, that word surfeiting means the desire no more of something as a result of having consumed or done it to excess. So he says, watch your hearts, that you are not overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that they come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Wherefore, he goes on to say here in verse 36, watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be counted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Well, then it says, he went out, verse 37, and in the daytime he was teaching in the temple, and at night he went out and abode in the mount that is called the Mount of Olives. And then we read in verse 38, and all the people came early in the morning to him in the temple for to hear him. Well, we read in the next chapter, verse number 1 of Luke 22, now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. We'll look at that in our next broadcast. Be sure and tune in.